Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today, should Christians celebrate Halloween? I've just given a brief thumbnail sketch overview of the historical roots of Halloween, and it's celebrating the Lord of the Dead, the Shaman, or the Lord over the dead. And he was the most feared and revered and powerful Lord of that day. And it was as a result of that that Halloween takes on the aspect of the darkness and the black color and evil spirits and the dead roaming around the earth, supposedly, and the witches and the demons come out. And I just read an article, a thumbnail sketch of the article entitled Thousands of Witches to Cast a Massive Spell on President Trump and His Supporters. The witches understand what's happening this season of the year. The demons surely understand what's taking place. And it's the witch and demons holiday. And the question is, should churches promulgate it? Should churches have a trunk or treat special where you're invited to come in and there's the spider webs and the goblins and the ghost and so forth displayed, and you call it a way to divert from the natural, the normal of the secular world and bring it into the church. I personally am adamantly opposed to it. I personally feel that it's embracing and encouraging the celebration of Halloween more than anything else if the churches do it, if Christians do it. And as I said a moment ago before the news break, as we see a decline in Christianity in America, as we see the apostasy taking place, we're seeing a greater and greater increase on demonic spirits and witchcraft and everything that is wicked and evil, unholy and ungodly. And the Halloween spirit, the Halloween celebration, only exacerbates that problem in society. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, you have a really good topic today. If you see pumpkins out in front of a church, what would be the difference if they have abortion supplies inside for sale? Would there be a difference?
Well, in my mind, there would not be. In fact, in my mind, what we're seeing taking place today, and for the our listeners, they need to understand, I'm not saying this in spite. I'm not saying this in any manner of ill will. I'm not saying this as a sense of hatred, but because of love. But what I'm finding today, and I'll address your answer in this fashion, what we're finding today is the church becoming more and more like the world so that somehow, some way, we can embrace the world, the world's ideals, the world's goals, the world's, how would you say, demonic fallen spirit, and somehow, some way, we're supposed to do that because we love everybody, and as a result of that, we're going to embrace everything and bring it into the church. And I find that antithetical to biblical truth. The scripture is very, very clear. We need to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And so I'm in agreement with you. It can cause major, major, major problems, I believe, in the realm of weak Christians, illiterate Christians, immature Christians, and it will cause them to fall into the sense that, well, if the church is sponsoring it, it must be all right. If mom is going out and buying me a ghost or goblin Halloween outfit, it must be okay. After all, mom is a Sunday school teacher. Mom is a Christian. Dad is whatever it may be in the church, and so it must be all right. It puts a stamp of approval on it, and I believe it is destroying the already mush minds of so many of our kids today because they're not being taught the truth of the Word of God. You're exactly right.
Yes.
Are you there? I think we lost our caller. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about asking the question and answering the question, should Christians celebrate Halloween? Should we be as Christians involved in that? Ladies and gentlemen, the looming question, the very serious debate, should the Christian or should churches promote or participate in this demonic day called Halloween? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, multitudes of Christians have put out all kinds of so-called ghosts and goblins. They've decorated the homes with all kinds of skeletons and spider webs and jack-o'-lanterns. You can drive around any city across America today, this time of the year, and you can find these things displayed as though they are to be, as though they are proud of them. And I contend, ladies and gentlemen, that many parents that are unlearned in the scripture, anemic in the scripture, ignorant of the scripture, are absolutely lost and just happen to be a church member, that you're allowing your sons and your daughters to participate in this. And if mom and dad, listen, if you embrace it And they say that it's okay with you, it must be okay, and therefore they do not question the Word of God and what God's Word says. In fact, one of the things it will do is cause a hardening of the conscience and will cause that son or that daughter to grow up embracing multitudes of other worldly customs and practices that's antithetical to the Scripture. Churches will provide candy and welcome the little ghost and the little goblins in their outfits as they come to the church to have a trunk or treat day or trunk or treat night. Ladies and gentlemen, I've heard too many Christians down through the years say, well, I think it's all right. We'll leave our light on and we'll let the kids know that we're there, and the doorbell rings or knock on the door, and we'll come and say boo to them and give them a stack of candy, and that is wonderful. Many parents look at it on the basis that they can send their kids out trick-or-treating and traipsing up and down the streets and crisscrossing the highways, not caring, concerned about their safety with that. That's bad enough. But they look at it on the basis, this is the night that our kids scoop up all the candy in the neighborhood. In fact, with some parents, some moms in particular, they get all excited about seeing which of their children can get the largest cache of candy and the largest cache of the goodies being handed out. And yet we have some that would say, listen, they will bifurcate it. I've listened to it. I've heard it. I've seen those practices. Say, well, I tell you what we're going to do as a Christian. We're going to open the door, welcome them. We're going to give them some candy and a gospel tract. Ladies and gentlemen, in doing that little simple thing, that it might sound simple, it might sound something that should be embraced, what you're doing, what we're doing when we do that, we're promulgating and we're prompting that child to think that there's nothing wrong with it, because after all, that dear Christian gave me a Christian tract along with some candy in my ghost and goblin outfit, and so it must be okay. After all, I'm doing that which mom and dad has approved. I'm doing that which my church has approved. I'm adamantly opposed to any church, any denomination, at any point in time celebrating an unholy, ungodly, demonic day or evening called Halloween. I think I make myself clear. I don't know about you, but if it sounds as though I'm passionate about it, it's because I am. I'm against churches providing that opportunity to further embrace a worldly custom, which is demonically contrived. Parents will compete with other parents to see who can have the greatest decoration in the yards or the greatest show of evil and wickedness in the display on the grounds. Ladies and gentlemen, certainly witches and devils and demons and ghosts and monsters and vampires are not Christian characters at all. I think you'd agree with me, wouldn't you? If you disagree, I'd love to hear from you. If you agree, have anything further to say about this comment, this communication, this issue today, call 831-0917, 831-0917. Let me remind you, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. Love to hear from you, your thoughts, your opinions on this dialogue and discussion. Here's an article that says, The Ancient Origins of Halloween. Halloween origins date back to the ancient Celtics celebration and festival of shaman. Celtics, who lived some 2,000 years ago, mostly in the area that is now Ireland, the United Kingdom, and northern France, celebrated their new year on November the 1st. This day marked the end of summer and the harvest and the beginning of the dark, cold winter and the time of the year that was so often associated with human death. The Celtics believed that on the night before the new year, the boundary between the worlds of the living and the worlds of the dead became blurred. On the night of October the 31st, they celebrated Shaman, or the Lord of the Dead, when it was believed that the ghost of the dead returned to Earth. To commemorate the event, Druids built huge sacred bonfires where the people gathered to burn crops and animals as sacrifices to the Celtic deities. During the celebration, the Celtics wore costumes typically consisting of animal heads and skins, attempting to tell each other's fortunes. Then this article further says, by 43 AD, the Roman Empire had conquered the majority of the Celtic territory in the course of the 400 years that they ruled the Celtic land. Two festivals of Roman origin were combined with the traditional Celtic celebration of Shaman. Ladies and gentlemen, it all has its roots in the Druids of that day and the celebration celebrating the dead. And suppose, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, listen, it is an absolute affront to God when it supposedly is celebrating the, quote, resurrection of the dead, the coming back of the dead, and then parading around. And if you did not leave treats for them, they would be tricks that would be performed against you, your household, or your family. That is nothing less and nothing more than witchcraft. It's nothing more than demonic spirits and the celebration of demons. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, here's an article. Whatever your family or church decides, here are some ways to keep the holy in Halloween. And ladies and gentlemen, listen, this is an article that's written from a liberal perspective. This is an article that's written from the anemic, immature, ignorant Christian's perspective. May I say that? Let me just read you two or three thoughts from this article so that you'll understand why some people do and say what they do with this evil, wicked holiday. It says, whatever your family or your church decides, here are some ways to keep holy in Halloween. Number one, love your neighbor. That sounds good, doesn't it? Running around the neighborhood dressed like a zombie might be far from the original intent of All Saints Day, but it isn't a salvation level issue. You might be hurt that your friends won't ring your doorbell for nerds and Twizzlers, but you don't know how this holiday might trigger them. Reasonable families or churches may choose differently, and that's okay. Listen to what your friends love about their own tradition and participate in their tradition, their holiday. Learn from them and love them as they carry out their tradition. End quote. Further, it says, be thoughtful so that everyone feels included in the activities. Have small toys and small prizes on hand. Make sure your house or your event is safe for everyone, and that everyone is welcome during the holiday of Halloween. Now, doesn't that sound fuzzy? just doesn't that sound like the world? That we're just going to make everybody happy. We're going to show we love everybody. So we're going to just blend with the crowd, and we're going to do what the world does, because after all, we don't want to be oddballs or be sticking out like a sore thumb. We want to look like the world, act like the world, and talk like the world. Ladies and gentlemen, churches and Christians will defend their participation by saying they have liberty in Christ, and to admonish otherwise would be legalism. In fact, some might think this is the legalist broadcast today. It's far from it. It's simply going back to the Word of God. It's not taking a license because of our liberty in Christ. It is going back to the Word of God and honoring what God's Word admonishes us not to do. And we'll look at a few of those passages of Scripture in a moment. So is Halloween just fun and frolic, or is it evil and dangerous for a Christian to participate? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible teach about such things as Halloween? Let me read you two or three paragraphs from a broader article. Can we borrow the ancient customs and superstitions and Christianize them? The Bible is not silent on this subject. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, listen. Learn not the ways of the heathen, for the customs of the people are vain, Jeremiah 10, 2 and 3. And when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations, Deuteronomy 18, 9. Also, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, Ephesians 5, 11. Now, here is something that one writer says, and I'm in agreement with it, so I'm going to read it to you. Halloween glorifies Satan. When America and the world celebrates the powers of darkness by masquerading about as evil creatures, or decorating our homes and churches or businesses with occult symbols, satanic power is glorified. While we may have participated all in fun, be assured, Halloween is a serious business for Satanists and witches. Anyone who is familiar with witchcraft can tell you that there are certain rituals and spells that can only be cast on Halloween night. Those who oppose Christ meet on Halloween to observe satanic rituals, to cast spells, to oppose Christians in family life, to perform sacrilegious acts, and even offer blood sacrifices to Satan. And even more frightening across the U.S. is the increase in human sacrifice. The 700 Club interviewed several people last Halloween, several of which were teenagers who actually participated in or witnessed human sacrifices while involved in Satanism. No one scoffs at the stories anymore, as police around the country have had to scurry to help develop a new field of investigation dealing with the gruesome reality of satanic worship and satanic sacrifices during Halloween. Isn't it sad, this writer says, that while Satanists, witches, and occultists and police are taking Halloween very seriously, many in the church, many as Christian parents, many churches protest our spoiling of their fun for their children. Who do we serve, this writer says, Christ or Satan? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of any more poignant statement that I could have read than that. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, many view Halloween as a celebration that is harmless, and there's nothing wrong with it, and somehow, some way that we could participate. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, when Christians participate in Halloween, it sends a message to our children that witchcraft and demonism and Satanism and the occult are something to as fun, something as entertainment, something that is harmless. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, it gives a false impression to what is right and what is wrong. And parents, may I say, which sponsor Halloween activities, listen, either do not know evil thereof or they do not care. The Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. And Christians are to be followers of God and not the world, Ephesians 5:1. Ladies and gentlemen, it is obedience to God for us to say no to Halloween. God repeatedly forbids his children from the participating in such demonic activities throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. A careful examination, ladies and gentlemen, of the scriptures revealed that God's unreserved condemnation of all those who participate in the occult activities. Some might ask, well, what's wrong with Halloween? What is wrong with the celebration? May I say, ladies and gentlemen, after a careful study and a review of God's Word, I find everything about it is wrong. Not one single thing can I commend. Not one single aspect of Halloween could I say is okay for a Christian to participate or a church to celebrate or a church to sponsor. It does not have one single redeeming value from a Christian perspective. It's a demonically inspired, devil-glorifying, occult worship festival. Did I make that clear? And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, those who love the Lord Jesus Christ cannot have anything to do with the celebration of this demonically inspired occult celebration called Halloween. What should the Christian position be? How should we respond? Clearly, ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. We should have nothing to do with the Halloween activities whatsoever. We have been made children of light. Jesus redeemed us from the powers of darkness, according to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And therefore we should walk in the light as we are in the light of the Word of God. It is antithetical to anything that's called spirituality or Christian, for a Christian to participate in Halloween. Here's one article that says, is it wrong to celebrate Halloween? Look at the Bible and see what the Scripture says in Ephesians 5:11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. This text, ladies and gentlemen, is calling on us not only to have no association with this type of darkness and activity, but also to shed light on the topic. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what I'm attempting to do in this broadcast today. I'm attempting to shed light. As you think about Halloween and its origins and what it stands for, would it be best to spend this time dwelling upon the themes of God, to dwell upon the light of the Word and allow the light of the Word to illuminate our hearts, or would it be best to celebrate this dishonoring holiday called Halloween? God, I believe, is calling on Christians to follow him, to come up from among them and be separate. Do not touch the unclean thing that the Scripture says is evil. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a little brief snippet from an article. Evil spirits, mystical creatures, and demonic activities get a lot of attention around Halloween. It's essential to use God's perspective in the Bible to draw a distinction between what's merely a cultural tradition and what is a destructive demonic practice. Witchcraft and sorcery and other practices are wrong because they are harmful for people and to elevate connection with the spiritual forces instead of elevating the connection with God. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, and I'll take a moment to read some verses of Scripture in relationship to this. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 8 and following. They shall have like portions to eat besides that which cometh through the sale of the patrimony. And when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after them, the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found any among you or any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, that which useth divination, or an observer of times, an enchanter of or witches, or a charmer, or a consulter with the familiar spirits, or wizards, or necromancy. And it goes on, ladies and gentlemen, in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6 and 7, the scripture says this: the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. In Leviticus 19, verse 31, the scripture says this: regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. And ladies and gentlemen, over and over through the scripture, in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2 and 3, for the custom of the people is vain, for the one cutteth a tree, or out of the forest, to the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and with hammers that move not. It's talking about setting up idols and worshiping things that are not godly, those things that are unholy and unbiblical. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 and 20 also touches on that very subject. Verse 19 to 20, and they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards, and that peep and that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living and not the dead? To the verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because it is not light in, it is no light in them. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully of what we must do. As Christians, we must recognize and understand that Halloween is a satanic, demonic day that we ought not to be involved in or celebrate any portion of it. I'm looking at a little booklet that's put out by, it's called the Anchor Series. It's the Facts on Halloween, What Christians Need to Know. It's by John Ankelberg and John Weldon. Let me just read you a brief paragraph from their little booklet. It's about 30 or 40 pages. Let's ask the final question, this writer says. How does God, as he looks down on Halloween night, in full awareness of the events that have happened on this night historically and today, view little children, especially Christian children, dressed up as ghosts, devils, witches, and goblins, or even dressed up as innocent characters, but going out on that very night, so dedicated by cultists to their own activities? How does God view Christian parents, his own spiritual children, participating in an event that on that very day is so honored by the occultics and by the demon worshipers and Satanists, the day on which so much evil has been committed historically and is actually being committed on that very night? If the Mafia or the Ku Klux Klan had a special day, would Christian parents dress their kids up a little and have a little manifesto of a Klansman and send them out on that night to commemorate it, or even just to have fun? The larger question all this raises, that Christians innocently participate in Halloween, is whether it involves a deliberate mockery of God on the part of the devil, i.e., to have God's own children participate symbolically in celebrations that are tributes to Satan, demons, pagan gods, and all kinds of evil, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think I could have stated that any better. Let me remind you, that's out of a little booklet that is called Facts on Halloween. We have copies of it in our bookstore here on the campus, the Conservative Campus Bookstore. Feel free to drop in at any time and look over some of these books that I think are good resource materials for you to understand what needs to be done. Ladies and gentlemen, number one, I want to wrap up the broadcast today with six basic things that Christians need to do. Six basic things that I believe Christians need to do. Number one, recognize the satanic origins of Halloween, and its believers have no involvement. Scripture reference for that, time will not allow me to read the references. Scripture reference I'll give you for that is 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, these points that I'm making, the last points that I'm absolutely closing the broadcast with, are recited in the little pamphlet, the little folder, Boo or Bogus, A Biblical Response to the Celebration of Halloween, Should Christians Celebrate Halloween, that I had the privilege of writing and publishing back in 1996. That's been a few years ago. And I'm simply going to give you the outline that closes out in that little pamphlet that I believe would be edifying for every Christian, for every mom or dad listening today. Recognize the satanic origins of Halloween, and its believers have no involvement. 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18. Secondly, remember what God says about pagan customs. Deuteronomy 18, 19 and 20. Thirdly, ladies and gentlemen, listen, refuse to have anything to do with practices that promote satanic rituals or occult practices. Leviticus 19, 31, Isaiah 8, 19 and 20. Number four, recognize or realize the consequences of such practices. Leviticus 20 and verse 27. Ladies and gentlemen, when you participate in those practices, you open the door wide open for demonic activity, for the potentiality of demonic control in a life or a family or a home. Number five, rebuke. Rebuke all satanic practices and expose them for what they are. Ephesians 5, 18, 8 through 14. 1 Timothy 4, 1. 1 John 4, 1 through 6. And number six, reply. Or rely, that is, rely on the Word of God, facing the evil forces in spiritual wickedness and spiritual darkness. And that is in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. And basically, it talks about that there's wickedness in high places. Basically, that text in Ephesians 6 talks about putting on the whole armor that we might be able to defeat Satan and his entourage in trying to tear down and destroy what we will be doing as Christians. Look at the Bible and see what the Bible says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, let me read you a brief paragraph from a final article. It says, can Christians participate in Halloween? What God calls evil. Evil spirits, mystical creatures, demonic activities get a lot of attention around Halloween. It's essential to use God's perspective in the Bible to draw a distinction between what's merely a cultural tradition and what's demonically destructive. Witchcraft and sorcery and other practices are wrong because they are harmful for people and elevate connection with the spiritual forces and the demonic forces instead of connecting people and our hearts and our lives being connected through the Word of God with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on this broadcast. Pray that it's been edifying and encouragement and educational for you. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.